So we are in Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. Philippians 4, 8 and 9. Before I get into that, how many of you have been just a little bit anxious about the pandemic? Anybody? Nobody? How many of you have been just a little bit concerned, maybe even totally depressed, but at least a little bit concerned about the election? Okay. How many of you have unfriended at least 5 friends over the election? I'm talking about Facebook. I haven't done that, but I know somebody who has. I think today's message is very practical for us as Christians. I think we need it, and I think it's very timely that this is the message for today. So I want to read the text, and then we're going to get into it. It says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things." And then it goes on to say, "Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you." Now, if you remember, 2 weeks ago, we covered Philippians 4:4, and that says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice." And so we learned that we're supposed to have joy as Christians. And then last week, we covered Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7, which says, "Be anxious or worried about nothing, but in all things, through prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God that passeth all understanding will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Peace of God. We're supposed to have peace. And so these things are supposed to be important to us as Christians, and things that we're supposed to have as Christians. And then Paul continues on from that by giving a list of the types of things that we should think on or think about. And I want to cover what these things are before we get into how it works. First of all, he says we should think on the things that are true. True. Now, this was one of the first Greek words I ever learned, and it was because there was a group that went around to various churches in Abilene, Texas, when I was at Hardin-Simmons University, and they called themselves Aletheia. Aletheia. And that means truth. This word is aletheis, which is the verb form, and it has an interesting makeup. The alpha, which is the ah, the ah, means not. And letho means hidden. So this word means not hidden. But it's translated simply as truth. So to me, it means the truth that is in plain sight. The truth that is not hidden. And these are the types of things that the scriptures are telling us that we should think on, the truths that are plainly seen. We should keep those in our thoughts. We should think on them. And then it says the next word is honest. And honest is the Greek word semnos, and it means honest or honorable, or some translations use the word noble in the English language to translate this word. Whatsoever things are noble. And the words noble and honorable, I do think, give us a better view of what Paul was trying to express here. This is not a comparison between things that are true and things that are not true. It's not a comparison between the truth and falsehoods, but it is more of a comparison between things that are honorable and things that are dishonorable. We shouldn't consider dishonorable things. We should keep our thoughts on honorable things. It's a comparison between thoughts that are worthy and thoughts that are unworthy. Don't think on things that are unworthy of your time. How many of you know some things are worthy of your time and other things are not? There are things that take up our mental capacity that are unworthy of our time and unworthy of our thoughts. And Paul is telling us, think on the things that are worthy of being thought on. And the next word is the things that are just. And this is the Greek word dikaios. And this word dikaios sometimes is translated righteous. It means equitable. It means basically means innocent. Think on the things that are innocent. Think on the things that are not going to hurt you. It means when you're laying in bed at night and you're trying to go to sleep, you don't let the thoughts that will hurt you stay in there. And you know which thoughts I'm talking about. Those thoughts that get you all agitated. Those thoughts that make you want to get back at somebody. You don't need those, especially not when you're trying to go to sleep at night. Especially not when you're trying to be at peace. So think on those things that are just, things that are not going to hurt you, things that are innocent. Next it has pure. Think on the things that are pure. The word pure is the Greek word hagnos. And hagnos comes from another Greek word, hagios. And hagios is the word that is often translated holy. Holy and pure. Pure. Holy. Think on the things that are pure. It means free from contamination. It means there's no blemish in these thoughts. Think on the things that are clean. Think on the things that are unmixed, that are unmodified. Think on the things that are wholesome. Now, this may seem boring to you right now, but I want you to hold on to these things because I'm going to tell you why it's important in a minute. But this word pure speaks of moral purity, which can be difficult to maintain. I mean, for instance, it's morally pure to forgive somebody. But if you struggle with forgiveness the way I do, which I imagine most of you do, I forgive, and then it comes back, and I have to forgive them again, and I have to forgive them again, and I have to forgive them again. And some people, it seems like I'm having to forgive them every 10, 20, 30 minutes. And I don't want to think on why I'm upset with them. I want to have moral purity. I don't want to have evil thoughts. I don't want to have wrong thoughts. I want to have morally pure thoughts. And that's what Paul is telling us to have here. Then the next word that he uses is the word lovely. Lovely. The things that are lovely. And the word lovely comes from the Greek word prosphiles. And I know that's a word most of you have never heard before. It's only used like twice in the entire New Testament. Things that are lovely. He's referring to thoughts of great moral, spiritual beauty. Think on the things that are of great spiritual beauty. The New Revised Standard Version says, think on the things that are pleasing. That's maybe close to what Paul was trying to say here, but I don't like that for one good reason. There are a lot of things that people find pleasing that are not morally pure. And so maybe if we use the word pleasant instead of pleasing, think on the things that are pleasant. But honestly, the King James Version does a really good job when it uses the word lovely. Think on the words that are lovely or beautiful. Pleasant for us to embrace. So what kind of thoughts do we have that are pleasant for us to embrace? Well, I don't know about you, but when I think about heaven, that's pleasant to me. When I think about Jesus being the ruler of the universe and having enough mercy to listen to my prayer, that's awesome to me. So those are the kinds of thoughts that are pleasant, that are lovely. And then he says, think on those things that are of good report. And this means well spoken of, reputable. The New International Version translates this word admirable. And it refers to thoughts that would speak well of us if others knew what we were thinking. The type of thoughts that if somebody knew what we were thinking, they would say that's a very admirable thought. The next word that is used here in the King James is if there be any virtue. Virtue. And virtue refers to moral excellence or thoughts that excel above other thoughts. This word for virtue here, at one other place, it's translated manliness. And it has the thought of valor. It has the thought of thinking on thoughts that are more courageous and stronger and more victorious than other thoughts. Thoughts that have virtue, that excel above the other thoughts that we could have. And then the last is, if there be any praise. And this refers to things that can be applauded, things that can be commended, things that are worthy of praise. And we should not only think on things that are worthy of praise, it should lead us then to praise the Lord. To praise the Lord. So Paul is telling the church at Philippi the types of thoughts that he would like for them to have. And why is he telling them this? Because he knows that they are a church that is filled with anxiety. He knows that depression is running rampant in that church. He knows they're sad about things. They're sad because they've been worried about Paul. They're sad, and what the Roman government's going to do to the Apostle Paul. They're sad because they're worried about their pastor Epaphroditus because he has been sick, and they're worried about whether or not he's going to live and whether or not they'll ever see him again. They're sad because they have been persecuted and they do not know when the government might come and break down their doors and haul them off. They don't know. This is the town where Paul was arrested and thrown in jail for preaching the gospel. This is Philippi. You remember the story of the Philippian jailer, where Paul and Silas are praising the Lord at midnight, and an earthquake comes and breaks their shackles loose and breaks down the door of the dungeon, and the jailer's going to commit suicide, and they say, "Don't do yourself harm." And then Paul and Silas lead the Philippian jailer to Jesus, and him and his whole house get saved. This is where this church is located that Paul is writing to. And the people who persecuted Paul and Silas still live in that town. And the church is still facing persecution years later when Paul is writing to them. And so they're struggling with anxiety. The same way that you may be struggling with anxiety about political parties today. They have no peace, no joy. So many Christians today have similar issues. They're anxious. They're discouraged. How do you get that way? How do you get anxious? How do you get discouraged? How does that come about? God says he'll give you peace. God says he'll give you joy. God says he will shed his love abroad in your heart by his Holy Spirit. So how do you end up discouraged and depressed? How do you get there? I guarantee you, God did not cause it. God did not pour discouragement and depression out on you. But I run into Christians all the time. I can see it in their eyes. I know what causes it. I can tell you what causes it, and I'm going to. But you probably know what causes it too if you think about it. I said 2 weeks ago, the Lord is the one who gives you joy. And the world didn't give it to you, and the world can't take it away. I told you last week, the Lord gives you peace. Philippians 4:6. You'll have a peace that passes all understanding through Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:6-7. So the Lord gives you peace. And I said, the world didn't give it to you, so the world can't take it away. So what does the world give to you? It doesn't give you peace. It doesn't give you joy. What does it give you? Anxiety, worry, depression. That's what the world's going to give you. Discouragement. Where did you get that anxiety you're struggling with? That's what the world gave you. Many, 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 many Christians are anxious about this election. You know why? You know what's causing it? That little clicker. That's what's causing it. Yeah. You need to turn that thing off and pick up this book if you want peace. God's going to take care of it. Listen, if you're laying in bed at night trying to go to sleep, the last thing you need to listen to is Stephen Colbert or Jimmy Fallon. I mean, you might be trying to get something funny out of them or trying to find some humor in them, but I'll guarantee you they're going to give you more anxiety than they are peace. They're not going to give you any joy and peace. And then if you go to bed all anxious about something they said, how are you going to wake up in the morning? You're still going to be upset. So why couldn't you just turn them off and turn this on? Because this is the source of your peace. This is the source of your joy. This is the source of your love. Then you can't treat your family right because you're all anxious and you've run out of joy. You know, the joy of the Lord is your strength. You've heard that before. You run out of joy and sometimes you run out of strength. You just don't have any patience left because you've run out of it. And you're wondering why you're running out of patience? Because you didn't reload. You filled your head with the wrong thoughts. You filled your head with Jimmy Fallon and Stephen Colbert and Chris Wallace and whoever else. Instead of filling your head with Jesus. Instead of filling your head with thoughts that are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, of good report, virtuous and praiseworthy. So, a lot of people are anxious about the coronavirus. You've probably heard lately that it's surging in Europe, that there's like 6,000 new cases per day in Europe and Great Britain. And where would you hear that? Thousands of new cases in Europe and Great Britain. Worried about it. Anxious about it all night if you go to bed watching the news. Do you think it's going to break in the door or break in the window and come in and get you while you sleep? I don't think so. Do you think that these late night talk shows or late night news shows are going to give you the fruit of the Holy Spirit? Do you think they're going to give you peace, joy, and love? No. if you have anxieties, if you're suffering from depression, if you're suffering from discouragement, it's time to turn that TV off. It may seem like it's entertaining you, but it's not. It's harming you. Sending your blood pressure through the roof. Stealing your joy. Stealing your peace. It's time to get out the good book and let the good Lord give you His good word on how to have peace, joy, and love. We need it. We need it. We need to maintain our spiritual disciplines through this season. When we were in Las Lunas, Laura grew up in Las Lunas, and she grew up with a gal that was kind of a friend, but not, more of an acquaintance probably than a friend. And Laura and this girl were in the same field of work. And lately this girl's been posting a lot of things about politics that are contrary to what Laura and I believe and the way that we think. And she was getting upset about it. This morning she said, I blocked her. And I said, good. Should have done that days ago, maybe weeks ago. At least till the election's over so it doesn't get your goat. You don't need it. You don't need to fight with her. You're not going to convince her. Just let her think what she's going to think and just leave it alone. Be at peace. You don't need to be thinking on those things that are not true, that are not pure, that are not excellent. You need to think on the things that God has told you to think on, the things that are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, good report, virtuous, and praiseworthy. Those are the things, the thoughts that we need to have. Are you following me? Are you with me? You can say amen if you are. All right. Let me ask it another way. Does the Bible say, be anxious for nothing, but every night watch CNN? Does the Bible say, be anxious for nothing, but every night watch The Late Show? Does the Bible say, be anxious for nothing, but every night watch NBC News? Does the Bible say, be anxious for nothing, but every night watch Fox News? No. I mean, there comes a time when we need some peace in our life and we need to just take the clicker and say, off. Done. Done. And then get your Bible out, open it up, and start reading it. Yes. That's when you ought to drag your Bible out. And you should do it for the sake of your own mental health. Otherwise, you'll wake up with a cynical, twisted perspective on life. You need to fill your mind with the goodness of God. You need to go to bed with a song in your heart. And this old world is not going to give that to you. Furthermore, this old world is not going to get any better simply because you worried about it. Well, I got to know what's going on so I can worry about it. That's not going to change a thing. You need to turn this old world loose and let God have it. Let it go. He can handle it a lot better than you or I can. Philippians 4:9. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. I love Paul's ministry because it was show and tell. Paul's ministry was show and tell. Not only did he tell them what to do, he showed them what to do. He lived it. He said, follow my lead. He never told them to do something that he would not do himself. Follow my lead. For instance, he told them, you cannot obey the law. He said, I was a Hebrew of Hebrews, I was a Pharisee among the Pharisees, but I couldn't obey the law. And if I couldn't obey it, I doubt you'll be able to obey it either. Can't do it. I needed God's mercy and grace, and I'm pretty sure you do too. That's what Paul's teaching was. He led by example. The last part of verse 9, he says, and the God of peace shall be with you. I've told this church many times that your thoughts lead to actions, and that your actions become habits, and your habits determine your character, and your character determines your destiny. Now, most of you have already found your destiny in life, but your thoughts are still affecting you and still leading to the actions that you make. And we need to be careful about what we allow in our mind. We need to be careful about the types of thoughts that we think, the types of things that feed into our eye holes, our ear holes. We need to be careful about what we allow in there. If you think on the things that are praiseworthy, then you'll be praising God. If you rejoice in the Lord continually, then your thoughts will continually be on the Lord. If you think on the things that are pure and lovely, the God of peace will be with you, is what he says right here. And I'll be with you just as surely as he was with the Apostle Paul. When I look at these various things that are mentioned here, I see a list of character traits. And do you know whose character it is? Jesus. Jesus. And so this is just another way of Paul telling us to follow the example of Jesus Christ. Follow his example, even with our thought life. And I hope this morning that you'll pledge to yourself to do that. Stand with me as we close the service.